No, I was looking for the announcements, but I don't see any. We'll begin this morning's Sunday church service with use number 5. Let's stand and sing, please. Would you kneel with me in prayer, please? Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once again this day, thanking You for this beautiful day and for this opportunity that we have to gather together here and to worship Thee. We pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would rest upon this congregation, that You would help us to humble ourselves sufficiently, that we might receive Thy Holy Spirit upon our hearts. We pray, Father, for the speaker of this hour and ask that You would bless him and give him freedom of thought and expression. We pray, Father, that You would be with all those meeting in like manner. Bless those who are unable to be here this day. We pray for those who have grown discouraged and ask that You would touch their hearts and bring them back. I pray for the many who are sick and afflicted. Ask that Your healing spirit would rest upon them. We do ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Before our second song, I'm going to read the announcements for the upcoming week. This evening at 5:30, there will be a song service, and at 6 p.m., a Mother's Day program. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, there will be a prayer service. And next Sunday at 9:45, Sunday school. And 11 o'clock, our brother Jay Moser will be the speaker. Song service 5:30 and 6 p.m., brother Glenn Orsted will be our speaker. And a special announcement is Holly and Justin's wedding is on May 25th at 1 p.m. here at the church. And we have an announcement also to the church announcing the wedding of Amy and Aaron on the 22nd of June. here at the church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's use number 143 for our second number. Let's stand and sing, please. I'd like to ask of each of you for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Joel Yates.
Thank you, Bill. If I look tired this morning, it's because I am. How's that? Normally, I don't like to preach the day after I work. Since I don't get off till 8 in the morning, and Saturday nights, you never know what's going to happen. And it always holds true that when I have to preach, we'll be up quite a bit. And we were. So I do ask your prayers. It's hard for me to keep my thoughts sometimes when I'm tired in the direction they need to go. First, I'd like to welcome each of you here today, especially you mothers. Most of us know today's Mother's Day. I hope all of us know that. I would like to concern myself with a little bit of history about Mother's Day. And to share with you how it all came about. There were always early celebrations. However, they had the Greeks began a certain day, but it was to worship a goddess, a pagan god. England later had one called a Mothering Day, and it was similar. It was to worship also a goddess. They say that England kind of did it to give some credence to the Mother Mary, the Mother of Christ, and that they took the day that was supposed to be in honor to Sybil, and sometime during Lent they would have this day, and it was kind of supposed to take away from this other thing. What I really was pleased to find out was that in America it didn't have anything to do with any of that. And that's nice. There was a lady named Anna Jarvis, and she is credited with originating our Mother's Day holiday. She never married and was extremely attached to her mother, who was also named Anna. Mrs. Jarvis was a minister's daughter. The mother that was so esteemed, was a minister's daughter who taught Sunday school for 20 years at a Methodist church in West Virginia. And her daughter graduated from a seminary in West Virginia and taught there in West Virginia for a time. But in May 1905, her mother died. And she had a great deal of responsibility. She had a blind sister she had to care for. 2 years after her mother's death, she and some of her friends began a letter-writing campaign to gain support of the influential ministers of the time and businessmen and congressmen in declaring a National Mother's Day holiday. She felt children often neglected to appreciate their mother enough while the mother was still alive. She hoped Mother's Day would increase respect for parents and strengthen family bonds. And so they began this letter-writing campaign. The first Mother's Day observant was a church service honoring Mrs. Anna Reese Jarvis, held at her daughter's request. And that was in May 10th of 1908. So, relatively new. So happened that carnations were her mother's favorite flowers. And they were supplied at that first service by Miss Jarvis. White carnations were chosen because they represented the sweetness, purity, and endurance of mother's love. Today, red carnations, kind of in time, became the symbol of a living mother, and white ones signify someone's mother has died. Well, today you'll notice that several people have white ones, and that's okay, because that was the original one. And that's what I got, because that's all I could find. So, we're going to go back to the beginning and accept a white carnation as something that's kind of acceptable. I found out something that was very interesting to me, is that as this day became more official, and the day by 1910, the Mother's Day Proclamation was issued by the governor of West Virginia. And Oklahoma also celebrated a Mother's Day that year. By 1911, every state had its own observance of it, including other countries, Mexico, Canada, China, Japan, South America, and Africa. And the House of Representatives in May of 1913 unanimously adopted a resolution requesting the president, his cabinet, members of Congress, and all officials of the federal government to wear a white carnation on Mother's Day. Congress passed another joint resolution on May 8, 1914, designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. The U.S. flag is to be displayed on government buildings and at people's homes as a public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. What was interesting to me is that as this began to take hold in our nation, it began to be commercialized, just like every other holiday we have. Is it the same way today? This young lady that began it all spent the rest of her days fighting against the commercialization of this. She didn't want it to be something that was for profit for anybody else. All she wanted was for people to take the time to acknowledge their mothers, to give them a special day. It's kind of nice that this little thing I got says, if your mother's still alive, take care to shower her with special attention. Visit her, phone her, send her a card. Let her know that you care. I want to talk a little bit about mothers. Some. I have quite a lot on my mind as I consider honoring. Exodus chapter 20, we know the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to turn to it, I'm just going to read it. Most of you know that the God of Israel, who we know today, was Jesus Christ. In verse 12, He gave the children of Israel a commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is what He requested, told them to do. Not requested, commanded them to do. Honor your father, your mother. He reiterates this. Jesus Christ reiterates this several times in the New Testament. I'm thinking of Luke chapter 18 and verse 20, when some of you know the story of a rich young ruler that came to him and says, good master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And he went through, not all the Ten Commandments, but some of them. And in the middle of this, in verse 20 of Luke chapter 18, he made the same statement, that they were to honor, he was to honor his father and his mother. When I look at the, so we now have a word in Hebrew that was used, that they translated the word honor from, and this word in the Scripture, if you type this up on your computer, there's a little red line under it, because it's spelled differently than we spell honor today. It's H-O-N-O-U-R. And this word in the Bible, in our Old English, in the Hebrew, the word, I went through the Hebrew word, and it was very difficult to discern what they were talking about and all that. But this is part of what I got. To bring to, come to do, to get, to be had in honor. Somewhere in this that the children of Israel were commanded to bring honor to their father, their mother's name. To come to do honor to their name. To get honor for their name. That their family's name would be had in honor. Something that God wanted. From the very beginning, when he began to work with his children, one of the first commandments. There's a Greek word that was used in the New Testament, the same word, and it says to prize. Honor, to prize, to fix a valuation upon. There's some value that you're going to fix upon this relationship. To revere, to honor, to value. Honor our father and our mother. Prize. I find that Paul, Jesus Christ said it, and then Paul reiterates it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, when he says this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. It's what God has commanded us to do. And so all you children out there, you know that God has commanded us to obey our parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what was that promise? That ye may be, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Probably all of us that are about the age I am, and probably when you get to your 20s, you begin to recognize how sharp sometimes mom and dad were. When from about 12 to 20, you weren't always sure that they knew what they were talking about. There's a reason why we have parents. There's a reason why mothers were a gift of God to us. Why we were born. He saw the need. Proverbs 22, verse 1. And I want you to think about this verse. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. And so here I ask a question. As we consider what it means to honor father and mother, today we've come, we're going to honor our mothers. Is it done in one day? No, not really. Do you value the family name that you were given? I wonder sometimes. Do you recognize that as a child of parents, that what you do reflects upon your parents? As we read through the book of Proverbs today, you're going to find how many things it says would bring shame to a mother. Why? Because what you do reflects on your parents, especially on your mother. And your father, he's also mentioned. But most especially, often, I find mentioned his mother. The things we do, they bring honor or they bring shame. They bring sorrow. They bring trouble. Or they bring praise. They bring respectability. A good name. There's something that Solomon could see. It's important that you have a good name. I know most of us here, I know a lot of the families here, we have a good name. Our forefathers and our grandmothers and grandfathers before us laid a life out there that was worthy to be followed. And they left a name. Left a good name in the earth. So how do we honor our parents? What kind of things do we need to do as we consider honoring our parents, especially our mothers? I find that when I start really thinking about what's true, you know, mom spends most of the time with the kids. It's just a reality. It's a fact of life. And often she's the one that's the first one that's going to be hit by all the problems and all the troubles. First one that's going to be hit by information about what their child did. It's usually mother. It's always there. Well, we begin by obedience, just like the Lord said. We obey our parents. For this is God's command and it is right. We respect our parents. We love them, and we have patience when we feel they aren't always fair. Any of you out there always fair as parents? Raise your hand. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. It's tough to be a good parent, and we have a lot of obstacles today. We're going to talk about some of those a little later on. It's tough. We have some tremendous things against us and opposed to us today. Let's consider another proverb from the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. It's verse 20. It says this: Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Well, what is this word curse? This word was a little bit easier to understand when I read the Hebrew word. It means this: to be made light of. If you don't heed your folks, your mother, your father especially, both of them, if you make light of them, it says your lamp is going to be put out. We don't use lamps anymore either, do we? We don't. That doesn't really mean a whole lot to us, you know. I'll walk by the streetlight, you know. Doesn't happen too much anymore. But obscure darkness with no light is not always a very good feeling. And this is what it says we will do: to be made light of, to bring into contempt, to despise or lightly esteem. If we consider the law of our parents, the things that they tell us to do, if we put little emphasis upon it, we have much to fear. And there's no doubt that the Lord was impressing upon Solomon when he wrote this, that he knew what he was talking about. I found over and over and over again that most parents know what they're talking about. In the warnings, in the things that they are desiring and striving to do. And I'm speaking of godly parents. I may want to make that clear. People that know the Lord, they have reasons for decisions they make. And so we must be careful that we don't make light. Those of us that are younger, don't make light of your parents. Those of us that are older. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. There's a whole lot said in the book of Proverbs. Chapter Chapter 10, verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon. We know Solomon was given by God a wisdom, it said, like nobody before him and nobody after. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know, I always, you know, every time I look through this, and we're going to read a lot today, you know, it appears that the good kids always reflect on dad. And the bad kids always reflect on mom. And although we know this isn't true, there's a lot to be said in the way this is written, at least in my understanding or when I'm thinking about these things. Mothers often carry the weight. Dad's gone to work. Sometimes so those of us that are ministering, you know, are gone on a missionary trip. Often mother carries the weight for the family. Foolish son, it's heaviness. It's heavy. Bothers her. Reflects upon her. It does not do her honor. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 20 tells us, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Well, when we consider these things, obviously, you know, what makes someone wise? There's a lot of things that may make one of us wise or some of us foolish. We're going to find a little bit later here where the Lord tells us exactly the things that we need to do to be wise. And by not doing it, and most of it has to do with obedience, by not doing it, we find ourselves fools. And we did as kids. Once more, it reflects upon mother. To bring and do honor to our parents is the duty of each son and daughter. Every one of us that's a son or daughter, it's our duty. It's the Lord's command. The things that we do bring honor to our parents. It's kind of interesting to me. You know, the Lord wants to be honored. We know that, first off, He is the first one that we are called to honor. We know that our brothers and sisters, if we read in Romans, He'd say, you know, in honor we prefer one another. We do things honorably for one another. And in the family, it's no less important. It's important to maintain our families. It's important for all of us to ascribe to bring honor to the name of our family by the things that we do. Proverbs chapter 23 gives us some of these more specific things. I'm going to begin in verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. When I look at several things here, you know, sometimes as we begin to get older and our folks get older, it's easy not to always appreciate all that they have done. And we are commanded here not to despise our mother when she begins to get old. Maybe when she's not always thinking straight, or we can look back as adults and say, boy, they really messed up there. I like the next verse, though, by the truth. There's something about what we know in the Word of God, the truth. And this is what I find our mothers continually talking to us about from our youth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom and instruction and understanding, accept these things. A wise child makes their family glad. Moms and dads. I want to consider for just a moment what mothers do for us and or what they have done for us. I want to consider their nature. I want to consider some of the things that the Scriptures show me. And it's the same way today as it was way back then. I think most of us will admit that mothers are usually the first teachers of children. They begin to teach us at the earliest age that we can start to understand. Now, how many times my mother, my wife, the mothers around, you know, when they see, they're with the kids all day, and when the kid begins to understand something, you know, no, don't do that, don't touch that. It usually starts with mom. Oh, dad gets involved in there, but again, dad's gone an awful lot. It's a truth that the mysteries of God are often talked about, and we begin to learn about faith through our mothers. Proverbs chapter 6 kind of gives us some instruction along this line, makes a statement. Verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know, when I stop and I think, you know, dad says something, he goes, and mom backs it up. Mom backs it up at home. "Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." This is what mothers are often involved in. There is a law. It's usually laid down by mom. And, dad usually supports it, should support it. Find most times that, I know for myself, when my wife, as the mother, says something to the children, I don't interfere. If she lays down the law, that's the law. And I will uphold it. Because she does have a responsibility. Because she does have something and a reason for doing what she did. Probably a reason that may have happened when I wasn't even home. We know that the mothers usually end up meeting out the discipline more often probably than those of us that are men. It is our responsibility. We do it. But more often than not, it's mother who's home, who sees it, who has to deal with it as issues arise, as something comes up that requires discipline. It's mother that spends the time and does it. This is a difficult thing, but it's also rewarding. Let's read. I'd like to read a little bit about the discipline involved with mothers. Chapter 29 of Proverbs. We live in an age when people say, you don't discipline your children. Let them have their heart's desire. And yet, all through the Scriptures, we see that the wisest ones have always been told and know the discipline is necessary. Verse 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." I can honestly tell you that I'll vouch for this. I was a wiser man because of the discipline of the rod and reproof. I am who I am today because my parents, mother and dad, did not fear to correct me with the rod and with reproof. They give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Mothers have a huge responsibility. And I want to keep the responsibility, you know, let you mothers know that we know how big your responsibility is. We didn't always like it as children, but we understand it better today as we have grown. Verse 17, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." It's necessary still today for correction. Mothers are often involved in this. These little things that mold the soul. I have been pleased as I look out in our congregation and I see the activity of mothers who were concerned for the souls that were placed in their care. Thankful that my own mother worried enough over me. And I know she had a handful. She smiles every time she sees some of my own children. Has a few memories of her own. Can't understand where they got it, except I want to blame their mother. But this is something that's necessary, something that we cannot overlook in a day where people want us to overlook it. In a day when it's child abuse, consider child abuse to do certain things that the Lord ordained. Some people take it that far. But the Scriptures tell us something completely different. We have to, for the sake of our families and our children, we have to discipline. We see something else in the nature of mothers. This is in the Scriptures. And I find it, you know, as I was looking through here and this jumped out at me. And there's something about the nature of mothers, and that they're usually the ones in the family that are prone to worry and fear for their children. I have no doubt this is often why they spend so much time in prayer. Let's look at a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. I'm going to turn first to page 13 in the Book of Mormon. Here, Lehi had been told by the Lord to flee the city of Jerusalem because the Lord was going to destroy it. The Lord was going to lead him out of the land to another, to a promised land. He was told to take his family, to leave his home, to go out in the wilderness. Oh, you know, every man's dream, you know. Get out of the city, get out in the wilderness. And here's mother, or his wife, thinking, does this make sense? What are we doing, you know? Well, it was a dangerous world they lived in. A little bit later, he gets out there and the Lord tells him, you need to bring the records. Send your sons back. So four of their sons turn around and go back to Jerusalem, and they have to deal with a very wicked and a very mean-spirited, a very evil man that was powerful, had great power. Those sons went. The youngest of them all knew that the Lord would deliver them no matter what came. But they went back to go and do what the Lord had told them to do. After much trouble and much tribulation and much, some of them had great fears to deal with. After much time, they return. We read in verse 146, they finally come home from this journey. They bring an extra guy with them even. The dangers were tremendous. And yet the Lord spared them. But we see here in verse 146, it says, it came to pass that after we had come down into the wilderness unto our father, behold, he was filled with joy. And also my mother, Sariah, was exceeding glad, for she truly had mourned because of us, for she had supposed that we had perished in the wilderness. She also had complained against my father, telling him that he was a visionary man, saying, behold, thou hast led us forth from the land of our inheritance, and my sons are no more, and we perish in the wilderness. And after this manner of language had my mother complaints against my father. It came to pass that my father spake unto her, saying, I know that I am a visionary man. For if I had not seen the things of God in a vision, I should not have known the goodness of God, but had tarried at Jerusalem, and had perished with my brethren. But behold, I have obtained a land of promise, and the things in the which things I do rejoice. Yea, and I know that the Lord will deliver my sons out of the hands of Laban and bring them down again unto us in the wilderness. You know, I can see this picture playing out. I find it to be even in the nature of what I see today. You know, more often or not when my kids go, the worry's done for me. But I find my wife, Mom, always concerned. Think they're okay? Yeah, I think they're okay. Way back here, same thing. Way back here, 600 years before Christ, here's a mother that's having a similar problem. And when we had returned to the tent of my father, behold, her joy was full and my mother was comforted. No doubt this mother spent a great deal of time in prayer. No doubt this mother's prayer was probably very much effective and actually allowing her sons to accomplish that which the Lord wanted them to accomplish. Can you think of another?